Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we are reflecting this month on a weekend series of Bible classes. We're digging a little deeper into an opportunity for the entire family to grow in our understanding of what is salvation. We aim to give you something to think about as this week unfolds tied to that, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, September is a busy time, but a time that our families can continue to grow in our understanding of what really matters most of all.
Absolutely. You know, we may have inventory of different things in our homes, how important things are, but the salvation of our souls is foremost. And that is understood because that's where God places it in the Bible. Jesus would say, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? So the salvation of our souls is premier above all things in our life.
This past Sunday, we kicked off. We've got a building blocks track of study. You can learn all about it at charlestownroad.org/building blocks. It's prominent right there on our front page. We are building studies that are really geared at entire families. Here in the context of our own church family, we've got Bible classes, first grade, all the way up through adults that are on this particular building blocks track. Of course, we've got younger studies for children all the way down to infants. But if you are a mom or dad and you're wanting to study together as a family, we would suggest that this is a great means of doing that. We kicked it off this past Sunday. If you missed it, you can catch up very quickly at charlestownroad.org. We're digging this month into what is salvation. And Roger, this past Sunday, we asked, what is redemption? When you hear that word, redemption, what comes to your mind?
Well, you know, we have a hymn that says, I have been redeemed. So redemption, redeemed, redeemer. Those are common phrases. And the idea behind all that, the base root of those words is someone has bought something. Bought with a price, we might say. And the idea goes back to slavery, where someone would be put up there to be sold and someone would buy them. Sometimes they would buy them and then turn around and grant them freedom. In the book of Ephesians, we find this word used in chapter 1. In him, talk about Jesus, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Now that verse is just layered and layered with all kinds of wonderful expressions that in Christ, because of his blood, there's forgiveness from our sins. What has happened? We have been redeemed. There is redemption.
All right. So I hear what you're saying, and it sounds, I mean, obviously right out of the Bible. But if we could slow down for a minute. Here I am on an ordinary Wednesday. I live in the United States of America, the land of the free. What do you mean by I, a citizen of the United States, have been bought with a price? That sounds like I had a serious problem, and I'm not even sure that I have a problem. So how does this relate to me?
Well, we do have a problem, and it is serious. There's no way around that. And, you know, we are either owned by Jesus or we're owned by the devil. That's just it. Now, a lot of persons will walk through life and say, hey, I do what I want to do. No one tells me what to do. It's my life. It's my body. I call the shots. Well, you're really dancing to the devil when you say that, because that's exactly what he wants you to do. And so the idea of being bought meant that there was a debt, and that debt was caused by sin. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death. And so sin comes with a cost, a price. And when we have sinned, we owe. And, you know, if you bought a car, you've bought a house, you understand that. I owe a lot of money to this bank or to this mortgage company. And you can't get heaven until somebody pays that debt.
All right.
That's the idea behind that.
So what's it going to cost? I hear you say it's either I belong to Jesus or I belong to the devil, and you're telling me I can be bought with a price, and so what do I need to accumulate? How much do I need to save in order to be bought with this price?
Well, let's go back and talk about the debt just for a second. In Matthew 18, Jesus gives this wonderful parable. It begins with Peter asking this question. I think Peter was being very generous himself by saying, if someone sins, how many times do I forgive him? Up to seven times. The Lord stretched it, saying seven times 70. And then he says, in verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. That's a massive, massive debt. If you owe $10,000, most of us don't carry that in our back pocket. 10,000 of anything is a lot. But when we understand wages back in the Bible lands, and we understand the times in which this is written, we're looking at a debt here that's going to take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to pay. It was impossible for this man to pay this. He had got himself in such a financial hole. Today, we'd say he filed bankruptcy. There was no such thing as bankruptcy. He could not get out of this. And so the master said, since you don't have the reasons to pay this, the means to pay this, I'm going to put you in jail. Your wife is going to jail. All your kids are going to jail until this is paid, which brings the question, how are you going to pay for this when you're in jail? I don't know. But basically, here's a guy who had such a deep hole, he could not get out. Jesus is telling us that's what sin is. Every single sin is this massive debt. You cannot go to heaven until this is paid. And what the point is, you can't pay it. I can't pay it. We can't live long enough. We cannot be good enough. We've got ourselves in a major, major problem here, and we need help.
So I need a Savior. You know, we are devoting this entire month to what is salvation. I liked how at the top of the episode you tied redeem, redemption, redeemer all together. Right along in that same line, what is salvation? It involves me coming in contact with a Savior. If I owe a price I cannot pay in 10,000 lifetimes, if somehow there is going to be any slice of good news whatsoever, I need someone to intervene on my behalf. And so how does that happen?
So we look at another passage. Just let the Bible speak for itself. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, as it talks about Jesus, he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world.
That's a big word we don't use very often, propitiation. What in the world does that mean?
And I doubt we say that in a month's time. Propitiation simply means satisfaction. The debt has been paid. And so here's somebody, and he's in a big, big hole. He cannot get out. And Jesus comes and pays that debt. We use an analogy to you and I. If we have a car loan, and we've made that very final payment, and the car company sends us the title, the car is now ours. The next month, you don't send them another payment. Why? Because it's paid off. It has been satisfied. The debt is erased. It's canceled. And so that's what Jesus does. Jesus is a satisfaction. When God looks at the blood of Jesus covering our sins, he says they owe no more.
So I appreciated how you took us straight to Scripture. You read 1 John 2, verse 2. Let me highlight one more time the first word in that verse. It is not, It is the propitiation of our sins. There's not some sort of accomplishment I can make. There's not a certain amount of service. There aren't a certain amount of worship assemblies that I can attend or amount of money that I can acquire and give. It is not the propitiation for my sins. He, Jesus, is the one who is able to satisfy the debt I owe for my sins. Which means, okay, I have to listen to Jesus. If this debt is going to be paid, it is only by Jesus. Which means I need so much more than to learn about Jesus. I need a relationship with Jesus. If I'm able to find that relationship, Roger, where can I go and what's the result of this redemption we're talking about? Where's all of this going?
Well, where's this going to is it's not just that Jesus paid a debt. You know, we're standing at the checkout line and I've got more food and I got money and I don't have any cards. And so, the guy behind me says, "Hey, let me pay this for you. Thank you." Then I go on my merry way. That's not what this is about. This is about Jesus getting me out of this hole I can never ever get out of. And then the rest of my life following Jesus. But he did more than just pay the debt. He bought us. That's where this word redemption means. Is that it's more than just paying off something you cannot pay for. It's the idea that you have been purchased. You have been bought. You were on a slave block owned by Satan himself. And Jesus came and paid the price to own you. That's how we get our freedom in Jesus. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The last two verses. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." Two thoughts come out of there. There was a price paid, that propitiation, the blood of Jesus covered that debt that we created ourselves, and as a result of that, he owns us. We have been bought with a price.
We recently have been reading in the book of Romans chapter 7. And I mean, there is this beautiful good news, of course, newness of life. Who wouldn't want that? The idea that all of this stuff that racked up so much debt that I could not pay, right? Romans 6, we studied recently in that daily Bible reading. We're buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. That's wonderful news, but so important for us to see the God-breathed connection. For instance, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, "You also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that..." Where's all of this leading? Paul says in Romans 7 verse 4, "so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead." Baptism, such good news associated with that, right? But where does it lead? Well, if I'm redeemed, I belong to Jesus. He's not my co-pilot. He's not some sort of a cosmic vending machine where I just push buttons when I need something. He's not my personal prayer genie in a bottle. He's not a weekend holiday or obligation or hobby, something like that. He's not just a check mark that I check when I have a guilty conscience. He is the satisfaction of the debt for my sins, and when he pays it, I belong to him.
See, it's so different than like at the drive-thru of Starbucks. You know, the guy in front of you pays for your coffee. And you go up there and say, well, the guy ahead of you paid for it. He's already gone. Well, oh, thank you. That's kind of nice. And if I feel nice, I'll pay for the guy behind me, but I may not. And I go on my way, may never meet that guy, and that's just fine. I got some free coffee that day. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a change of ownership. In Galatians 2, Paul says in verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There's that propitiation right there. He gave himself up for me. I no longer live. I no longer call the shots. I no longer say, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it. I now realize I'm owned by Jesus. And I need to do what Jesus wants me to do. And that the change that comes when we follow Jesus Christ. The idea of being redeemed is getting out of a hole you cannot get out of. But once you're out, you follow Jesus.
Yeah. I love how the rest of that verse, Romans 7 verse 4, concludes. You know, we've got the idea that, okay, I've died to law through the body of Christ. I've been baptized. I belong to him. And the very last few words of Romans 7 verse 4 is, in order that we may bear fruit for God. You said, okay, what does Jesus want me to do? That's straight out of the gospel, straight out of John chapter 15. He wants me to bear fruit for God.
You know, it's interesting, the disciples were first called Christian at Antioch. The word Christian is only found three times in our Bible. We would get the idea it's probably found 1,000 times, but it's only used three times. And the core definition of Christian is belong to Jesus. These are the people who belong to Christ. In our language, in our culture today, we use apostrophe. I would say this is Roger's pen. This is Roger's Bible. This is Roger's desk. They didn't use apostrophes in the Greek language. So they would say belong to. This book belongs to Roger. This pen belongs to Roger. This person belongs to Christ. That's what the word Christian really means.
And that is something that even at a very young age, we need to begin to get into the hearts of young people. We live in a world where so many have the mentality, I belong to me, it's my body, my choices, my destiny, I am the captain of my own life, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Roger, we're serious about this month growing as a church family, understanding what is salvation. We kicked that off this past Sunday looking at redemption. I appreciate you digging a little deeper in that with me. If you're on that building blocks track of studies, we would love to see you this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays throughout this month, we're going to look at great stories of salvation. And so we've talked about redemption, being set free. Sure does seem like a great example, great story of salvation. We're going to talk about the Israelites set free from Egyptian slavery. And specifically, we're going to look at this example of them right there at the edge of the Red Sea in a moment where they knew we cannot save ourselves. We've got hundreds of Egyptian chariots chasing us from behind. We've got a sea of water in front of us. We're going to zero in on a powerful statement of Moses where he tells them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We would love to have you build right along with us this month as we grow together, individuals and families, in our understanding of what is salvation. But Roger, in our auditorium, of course, we've got another track of studies specifically for adults. What do you have ready to go this evening?
Well, we just finished our summer series with 9 wonderful preachers on that theme, How Firm a Foundation. So we're going to follow that even further this month and keep talking about that firm foundation. And this evening we're going to talk about flawed foundations. There's a lot of people build their houses on sand and the different kind of foundations that just don't stand. And we're going to look at that and get back to how we need to build our lives upon Jesus Christ in the Bible.
We're looking forward, of course, to this evening, 7 o'clock p.m. But Roger, we're also looking forward to Sunday. And what do you have prepped for us this Sunday morning?
We're going to go through Acts chapter 1 and talk about the ascension. Jesus was telling the disciples about his death. He told them a little bit about his resurrection. Didn't say a whole lot about the ascension. And then it takes place. And then he's gone. No more Jesus on earth. And the apostles are at a pivotal moment right then. And that's what we're going to look at.
All right. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above, given you something to think about, perhaps even to talk with your family about. We would love to see you at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. Opportunities to grow abound, and we hope that you will continue to grow with us.